Here we are, Daf Kof Gimel Amud Beis. We learn the Mishnah at the top. The Mishnah lists a variety of things, what we call generally Dvarim Shebekedusha. Although they're not all conventionally Dvarim Shebekedusha, but they're all things that require a minyan. A minyan, of course, being the presence of 10 adult Jewish men. Adult from the age of 13 and over. Amechuna Bar Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Menahani Mili, what is the source for minyan? What is the source for 10 being a minyan? What's the antecedent of the word hani? In other words, the Gemara says mem hey mem, Menahani Mili. From where are these words? So what's the antecedent of these? Which part of the Mishnah is the antecedent hani?
Pachot me'asara.
Right, the idea of the minyan. So Amar Rabbi Chiya, this is a well-known Gemara, whether you knew it or not. Amar Rabbi Chiya, you know what a well-known Gemara? You know how something qualifies as a well-known Gemara? You know, people say it's a famous Gemara. It's a well-known Gemara. What makes a Gemara famous? Well, you know it. I mean. Menani mili, Omer b'chia baraba, Omer b'yochanan. The Omer kra, v'nikadashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. That God, that I will be sanctified, that they will sanctify me in the midst of the b'nei Yisrael. Kol davash b'kedusha, nikadashti, kedusha, kadosh. To be sanctified, the sanctification of God. Kol davar shebekedusha lo yehe pachot miasara is learned out from that pasuk. V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. My mashma, the Tani Rabbi Chiya, atya toch toch. There's a gzera shava on the word toch. V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean to be betoch b'nei Yisrael? K'tiv hacha v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. V'k'tiv hatam hibadlu mitoch ha'eda. What's that pasuk talking about? Nope.
Meraglim.
How many Meraglim were there?
12.
How many were Nivdalim?
Two.
Do the math.
10.
12 minus 2. Very good. No, in other words, because we say Hibadlu mitoch ha'eda, right? In other words, once you've left, they are still in Eda. Va'atya Eda Eda. And as in, there's like a double Gzera Shava. Toch, Toch Ha'eda, Eda, Eda. Right? What does an Eda mean? No. An Eda is like a community, a Kehila. Like the way that we, I'm not sure that it's the best use of the term, but in contemporary Hebrew, an Eda is a, you have the Sephardic Eda, you have the Edot HaMizrach, you have the Ashkenazim, you have the Temanim, you have, right, each of these is an Eda, meaning like a community of a religious tradition, right? So Toch Toch, if Toch means 10, once you've left Mitoch, the group, there are 10 left. So then 10 for the purposes of Kedusha, it's of course, there's something ironic here, that we learn the din of Minyan from the 10 Meraglim. And then Eda, Eda, Dechtiv Hatam, Ad Matai Le'eda Hara'a Hazot. So just like they were called, those 10 guys were called in Eda.
And if you think you would need the word Eda in our original pasuk somewhere.
Well, and it's like a double Gzera Shava. Pasuk A, pasuk B, pasuk C.
Doesn't it say Eda there?
No, but it says Betoch.
Betoch. The first leg of the Gzera Shava is the Toch to Toch. And the second leg, and as there is one pasuk that has Eda and Toch.
It's a double play.
Why do you need the second one?
Yeah, so why do you need the second one? It's not so clear why you need the second one. Right. You see, the Rashi says Eida, Ein Pchuta Me'asara, Shneemar Ad Matay Le'Eida Ara Azot, Yatzu Yehoshua V'Kalev. What? It's the 10 minus 2. Mala Halan Asara Av Kan Asara. Anyway, so this is the Gemara from which, this is the Drasha from which we learn the din of the Minyan.
No, you made a mistake, sorry. The Nikdash Tiptoch is... he's dealing with Tochal Da is from the Rabbi, is from Korah. The Edarazot is from the Rabbi.
Right.
And that's why you need the second Midrash.
Right.
Because it wasn't clear there, it was talking about 10.
Correct.
That's it.
The Mishnah had said that one of the things you need a minion for is this idea of the Ma'amad and the Moshav, which I mentioned is this procedure that they did on the way to the Kvura, which may somehow have a resonance in the way that we do here in Eretz Yisrael, whereas they move from the Beit HaHespedim to the Kever, they stop and they say the Kaddish. Rashi had said, Rashi in the Mishnah had said, Ma'amadu Moshav Lamed. Keshenosin et hamet lekovro, hayu yoshvin sheva pa'amim livchot et hamet, varotze lesofdo yispod, vahachi tanya ein pochtin mishiv'a ma'amadot moshevot lamet kegon amdu yikarim amadu shavu yikarim shavu. It could be that they didn't have like hesped, like the way that we do it is you go to the place where they have the hesped. Even here, where we don't have like a proper Beit HaHespedim. Now we do. But the old, right? There was no proper Beit HaHespedim, so everybody stood around in the parking lot.
In the rain.
Often in the rain, right? One of your parents, Levitas, was in the rain. Yeah.
And that's why it rained, because it was my father's. This way, telling everybody to go home. It's their
job. So. As I recall, it was like a... It was, as I recall, it was a heavy rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they wouldn't necessarily even do that. They would take the where the mate was usually in the home. The merachatzim, the chevra kaddisha would come to the home. People died at home. The chevra kaddisha would come to the home. They would prepare the body, wrap it up in the tachrichin at home, and then from the home they would journey to the cemetery, usually on the outskirts of the city. And they would make these seven stations along the way, and they would say the hespedim along the way. Kanire. So this stopping seven times was only done with a minion. Yes. No, you could have a spedim, but you wouldn't have this tekes of the seven.
Now we do kaddish. So maybe we also do kaddish. Now we do kaddish at each part. So we wouldn't have a minion. Maybe there's some.
Maybe that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's not connected to kaddish. Interesting, Kaddish is not on this list of the. I mean, there are all types. First of all, there's all types of things that are Dvarim Shebekdusha that require a minion that are not on the list. What? Kaddish.
How far back does Kaddish go?
Certainly as old as the Mishnah. Kaddish, Kedusha, Chazaras Hashatz. I mean, it says Ein Ovrim Lifnei HaTeva, but no, maybe that's like a Shem Kolel. What else requires a minion? No, that's Birchat Chatanim, as mentioned. Yeah. What are other things that require a minion? Presumably there are others. So Enosin Ma'amadu Moshe Pachot Me'asara Kevan Debo'i Lemeimar Amdu Yikarim Amodu Shvu Yikarim Shavu. This was the Nusach. Whoever was leading the service would say, Yikarim, dear Jews, stand still, sit, go. So it seems a little strange, but the Gemara says, "But sir me'asara lava orachara." In less than 10, this is not Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz. Maybe it's not Derech Eretz to the mate. Maybe it's only proper to keep the mate, you know, moving and going. Or maybe it's not Derech Eretz to the people to keep them moving and going, unless you have at least 10 people. Unless there's a tzibur of people to do
this.
Rashi says Lahatriach Shaliach Lakach Lahakrot Yikarim De'im Kain Ma Hanachta Lemerubin. Right? In other words, it's not proper to have the God, the head of the Chevra Kadisha, do this whole thing for less than 10 people. Right? Like some people would say it's not worth preparing the shir to come out on a rainy night if less than a minion are going to show.
Five people have come.
Well, I'll count amongst them. 6 people. I also get to learn. That's the din at the end of the Mishnah about the difference between Avedim and Chasanim.
Our scroll translates it differently.
What does the art scroll say?
Our scroll says this way. Were we to bestow the title of Yikalim or dear ones on the gathering of fewer than 10, then what greater title would then be reserved for a larger gathering?
Who says that?
That's how they translate Rashi.
Oh, that's how they translate Rashi. Yeah.
Right. So in other words, it's not like
my nachta the rabbin.
It's not like less than 10 is.
Oh, what would you bestow? Yeah, on
if you call a small group deer.
Deer. The what would you bestow? Therefore, you only
many deer.
The dearest of the dear, the deepest of the deep, the highest of the high.
Yeah,
it's a little hard to understand, but enochinami, this is the idea that less than a minion, it's not worth the effort. In all cases, this is not the halacha lemaisa anymore. In America, when was the last time you had a funeral without a minion? In America, in America, it happens. Like they have the graveside service. And only, you know, somebody old dies, didn't have any friends left, didn't have any family left besides.
His family like lives all in California.
When I was a teenager, the rabbi would call me up all the time. They're having a graveside, right? He was saying, "We're having a graveside." So we're having a barbecue. We're having a graveside.
And we need an extra body.
Could you? You have to come to make a minion. The enom in birchas avelim ubirchas chasanim without a minion. My birchas avelim. What is this birchas? We don't know about this birchas avelim. Birchas chasanim we know is shavu brachos. What's birchas avelim? Birchat rechava. Domer bi Yitzchak, Domer bi Yochanan. Birchat avelim ba'asera. The ein avelim min a minyan. When they would come back from the funeral, they would have some kind of tekes in the street, in the rechava, in the public square, and the avelim would sit here, and it might be similar to like the shurot that we have now, but there was a bracha that was recited, and the bracha was this is the Gemara in Ksubas, which actually records at least part of what the bracha was. But the bracha, it almost sounds like not so much like the Sheva Brachot, but like the Hiratzon's after the Bris Milah. You know, at the end of the Bris Milah, there are those, what was it, 5 Hiratzon's? The benching. Harachamans, not Hiratzon's, I meant Harachaman. And these were mostly for the guys, the Chevra Kadisha, and for the Milavim that came to escort the Avelim. So since it's not really directed at the Avelim as much as it is at the people that are there, which may have been like, you know, it's like a Yashikoyach, right? You're like you took a day off from work, you had to come out in the rain to bury the guy, right? So because of that, the Avelim themselves are not part of the minyan. The ein avelin min a minyan, says Rashi, shaharei hu omer bracha leminachamim b'fnei atzman. The bracha is to the comforters, not to the mourners. Well, like whoever leads the.
Oh, I think so. Like, who's the one who sent you? You're saying
whoever leads the benching.
Right.
That's man. Achenu Bal ha-gmul yishalem lachem gmulchem ha-tov. Baruch atah Hashem, mishalem ha-gmul la-avelim bifnei atzmei... ha-gmul. Mishalem ha-gmul. Right? In other words, just like you're doing this good deed for them, maybe may good deeds be done to you. Ul-avelim bifnei atzman. Achenu bal ha-nechamot yinachem etchem. Baruch atah Hashem, enachem avelim ve... And there's a separate bracha for the mourners. So since the point of this thing is to kind of differentiate between the mourners and the comforters, so the mourners are not counted in this minyan. You can understand why people want to have that differentiation, right? So the ayin hara shouldn't get you. Min ha minyan. Birchat chatanim ba serav chatanim min ha minyan. But sheva brachos, the chosan is counted in the ten. Is counted in the ten.
Why is that?
Because he's part of the simcha. He's part of the simcha. Right?
Yeah, but if you, I understand these like in one part, on one hand it's a simcha, on one hand it's not a simcha, therefore you want to differentiate. But the fact that you want to differentiate because your halachot are directed toward a certain group and not to the klal v'gadol, we should still also hold here, no?
Maybe. But you could also say like there's a difference between simcha and avelus. And Not yet. They're on their way.
It should
still be. I mean, we're in the middle of Shiva. We're in the middle of. Ve'ein mezamnim ala mazon b'shem pachot mi'asara. This is we know. You don't say Elokeinu in the benching. B'shus marav zanivrech. Elokeinu shalchanu mishlo. Kevan de boy le meimar nivarech le lokenu, but sir miasara lav orachar. It's not mechubad to say Shem Hashem with less than a minion. Now, of course, Shem Hashem Elokenu and Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is all over the benching. Right?
That's part of the benching.
But that's part of the benching, not part of the zimun. Right? The zimun, the idea that like everybody has to bench. You eat, you have to bench. Right? You and he eat, you both have to bench. The three of us eat together, so then we have to bench together. You know the Mishnayos about making a Zimun and breaking away from a Zimun and who gets counted for the Zimun, and right? You think like this is the amount of energy that gets exercised in Masechet Brachot over this particular question is significant. But the idea that when you have less than three people eating together, there's like one reality. When you have three or more people eating together, it's a different reality. And when you have 10 or more people eating together, it's a different reality still. And the Mishnah also describes even larger numbers, which we don't seem to practice, or maybe we never end up eating. I don't know, maybe you saw that picture of all those shluchim? Right? How many guys were there?
I'm sure it wasn't 10,000 or something, whatever number it was.
It wasn't 10,000.
No.
What?
In Madison Square Garden, they did a Siyum Shas with food, and there was like some special benches.
Right.
Now I understand.
Oh, is that, yeah?
I never knew about the Gemara Bell, but now I understand.
I was never in the
it was like 20,000.
Madison Square Garden Siyum Shas.
I was driving for somebody. That's how I wound up.
But that idea that when the Zimun calls together everyone, so when you're calling together 10 Jews, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also like present, as it were. V'akarkaot tisha uvehen adam uvehen uvekoen v'adam kiyotze behem. So the Mishnah said that when you have this if you have karka, your property, and you make a neder to give the value of the karka to Beit HaMikdash. So how do you know how much that's worth? So you need to have this assessment done. So the board of assessors has to be a minion, and one of them has to be a Kohen. How do we know that you need a minyan and that one of them needs to be a Kohen? So there's this limud, which is a little hard to... it's hard to reckon. Minahani mili. What's the source for this? Omar Shmuel. Asara kohanim ktuvim beparasha. The word Kohen is mentioned 10 times in that parasha. Where is this parasha?
In
Bechokotai. It's at the very end. It's the very last thing in Vayikra. So the word Kohen is mentioned 10 times. Chad legufei. One of those 10 mentions is for the Gufa Inyan, to teach you that you need to have a Kohen. Vechad lemiute. And the next one is there to restrict the teaching. Right? To tell you that you only need one Kohen. Ve'idach have miut achar miut. Ve'ein miut achar miut ela lerabot. There's an idea of a miut achar miut. In other words, if you have a principle, it's one of the hermeneutical principles.
Two minuses make a plus.
Right. So in other words, if we tell you it has to be a Kohen, and then we tell you again it has to be a Kohen, it's telling you that after you have the Kohen, the other guys can be Israeli. So, but there's a problem. You have 10 Kohen, right? In other words, you have the word Kohen 10 times. So the first time you have a Kohen, it's there to teach you, Kohen needs to be present. And the second time there's a Kohen, it's there to teach you, but they don't all need to be Kohanim. Right? But wait a second, there's a third and a fourth and a seventh and an eighth and a ninth and a tenth. So maybe the first one is telling you you need a Kohen. The second one is telling you that they don't all need to be Kohanim. But maybe then the third one is there to teach you. It's like you keep flipping the switch up and down.
Right. Well, aside from the fact that you learned 10, you already have a limud about the 10. The 10 is the reason why there's 10.
Right.
You don't learn the same thing from two things from the same.
Well, it depends. But the Gemara says, why don't you read it like this? Why don't you say there's 10 Kohanim and it's off on? So why don't you learn from this? You need to have five Kohanim and five Yisraelim.
Because if you follow the off on all the way out to the end, it ends on off.
It ends on off.
So therefore, you would only need one.
Right, which is how the Gemara learns it.
Okay.
Right. That's what the Gemara is saying. But then the Gemara says, but you could also say that, in other words, you know, plus minus plus miut achar miut is reverses whatever. So you need a Kohen, you don't need a Kohen. You need a Kohen. So why not just say you need 10 guys? Five of them have to be Kohanim, and five of them have to be can be Israelim. So the Gemara says, "Enachanami kasha, kasha." The din is you need one Kohen. Why might forget the drasha, which is a little you'll pardon me for saying a little inelegant. But what's the logic behind this? Why might you need a Kohen on this Vod?
Because that's the only part here that makes sense. Because if you're saying, I need Makdish and Tzela Mikdash, who's it going to? It's going to the Kohanim.
No, it's not going to the Kohanim. The Kohanim are not the Ba'alim on the Beit HaMikdash. What are they?
The workers of the Beit HaMikdash.
They're the representatives.
Okay, whatever. They're the representatives of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. So it would make sense to me that you need at least one person in there to at least say, okay, this is what our interests are. This is what we think.
Right. You know, right. Precisely. Precisely. So you understand why there needs to be, why the Kohanim need to be represented.
Right.
Right? Why you need to have at least one Kohen. The... Adam Kiyotze Bahen, and we learned out also that if a person is makdish his value to Beit HaMikdash, then his value also needs to be assessed in this committee of 10, one of whom is a Kohen. Adam Mikadosh. I said, what do you mean? How can a person be makdish himself to Beit HaMikdash? Does not accept. You can be makdish anything to Beit HaMikdash, right? I can be makdish this three quarters empty bottle, right? And then the whole thing becomes Ekdish, and if I take even a sip from it, I'm Moel Bekdish. Right? Now, what's Beit HaMikdash going to do with this? Well, maybe they'll save it for Simchat Beit HaShoeva.
Or sell it and use the money for something else.
Whatever it is. You can be Makdish anything that's Shove Kesef. You cannot be Makdish yourself. You cannot be Makdish a person. What? No. He did not become the property of when a Nazir, right, is Makdish himself. Right? When a Nazir makes a Nedir, right, it doesn't mean that he becomes the property of Beit HaMikdash. Right? It means he's dedicating himself to the service. But he wasn't a slave. Right? Mm-hmm. Shmuel Navi does not become a slave to Beit HaMikdash. If he wanted to quit, he could have quit. Right? A slave cannot. So what does it mean? So it doesn't mean that the person himself goes to Beit HaMikdash. He becomes the property of Beit HaMikdash. It's a way of saying, I'm giving a certain amount of value. And if I want to give a certain amount of money, I can say I'm giving 1,000 shekel. Right? And then I have to give 1,000 shekel. I can also say, I'm giving this week's salary after taxes, which comes out to be about 1,000 shekel. Maybe a little more. Right? Well, why don't I just say what it says on my tlush? Right? I could. But there's all different types of ways of saying.
Besides, you never know in advance what's going to be on the
tlush. It has an extra meaning when you say it. It has an extra meaning than just the amount.
Right.
It has a more sentimental meaning.
Sentimental or symbolic meaning. To say, this, all of my work this week was dedicated to, right, to be rested. And even though there's no difference in terms of the bottom line, right, it's psychologically it might have. I'm giving. I win in the raffle. I win a new car. Right? So this is a windfall. This is a windfall. And to show my appreciation, I want to give. So let's say the new car is worth, I don't know, how much is a new car worth? Didn't you just buy a new car? Okay. Nagid, 70,000 shekel. Right? So I could say, I'm gonna give what I, Imasha Kibalti, I'm going to make a donation. Because anyway, I was going to buy a new car, so I'm going to make I'm going to spend the 70,000 I would have spent on a car if I hadn't won it in the raffle. So I'm going to give to Hekdish. But you can also say I'm going to give the value of this car, which then ties it to exactly the reason behind the donation. Right? So if a person says I'm giving my value to Beit HaMikdash, it'd be good to win a car in a raffle.
Your friend who did that.
What?
A friend who won intentionally.
He intentionally won a car? I'd also intentionally win a car.
They're having a raffle in some supermarket.
Uh-huh.
Every time you bought a Sano product, they would enter your name in the raffle. They just bought it. On the side, it didn't go bad. Every time they went to the supermarket, they bought a ton of thing and they won the car. It was like almost the one they were going to win this thing, and they didn't.
When Shalom Sachs was in Kita Chet, he went to the Chinese auction at Rosh Hashanah, and there was a certain toy that he really wanted, and unbeknownst to his parents, he used a ridiculous portion of his bar mitzvah money buying Chinese auction tickets. Because he figured if he buys, you know, a lot of Chinese auction tickets, he's certainly going to win. He had not yet, and probably still has not yet, mastered the finer details of probability. And he lost it all. We also had to explain to him that if he would have taken that same money, he could have bought the toy for a lot less.
But it wouldn't have gone to tzedakah.
Yeah, well, that was the silver lining of the lesson, that he gave a lot of his bar mitzvah money to support his own school.
Ouch. His education.
Yeah. That did not soften the blow for an eighth grader. Ouch. I mean, I guess Sano products don't go bad, so they must have a very clean toilet.
And a nice car. Still using them today.
And a nice car. Adam kiyotze behem. Adam mikadosh. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Ba'omer dami alai. My value is now on me, meaning I donate my bill. D'tanya ha'omer dami alai shaminoto ke'evid. Mazeh shamin? You make an estimation, an assessment, a shamai. Everybody's had a car accident sometime. They call it a shamai. Remember the first time I came on Aliyah, the first time I had a car accident, I thought it was like, oh, how cool is that? They call shamai, like Beit Shamai. Now when I have a car accident, it's less charming. The Eved, so they have to have this debt. The Eved itkish l'karka. So how do we know that Eved? Because Eved itkish l'karkaot. The Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere have this idea that for certain purposes, an Eved and property are the same. What does it mean that an Eved and property are the same? There's a hekesh between Eved. In what way is Eved and property the same?
Well, for one, you need a minion to value them.
Yes, okay. There's two types of property in halacha. There's karka and metaltalin. Moblie, immoblie. What's nadlan?
Nichsi de lo naidi. Immoblie.
Immoblie. What? Karka. So, how sales are executed, there's different dinim. So for certain purposes, an Eved, and there's no Ein Metaltelin Gedola Mizu, right? But for certain purposes, an Eved is akin to Karkaot, and not to Metaltelin. An Eved is akin to Karkaot, and not to a goat. And there might be actually some Musr behind that. That even though both a goat and an Eved can be sold, a goat and Eved are not the same. And the responsibilities to an Eved are very great. The Eved itkish lekarkaot dichtiv vehit nachlatem otam vehit nachaltem otam levnechem acherechem lereshet achuza. So this we learn out the hekesh between avadim and karka. Now the Mishnah goes on. The new Mishnah at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Beis goes on. Hakore b'Torah lo yifchot mishlosha. Ma'azot amed lo yifchot mishlosha ma. Psukim. This is a din. This Mishnah was quoted earlier. We're familiar with this Mishnah. So each aliyah has to have at least three psukim. Velo yikra lemiturgaman yoter mi pasuk echad. But in the time when there's a miturgaman, you don't read all three psukim together. You read pasuk, targum, pasuk, targum. After each pasuk, the reader has to pause, so the mitargem can be mitargem. Uvenavi shlosha hayu shloshtan shalosh parshiot korin echad echad. But when you're reading in the Navi, when you're reading in the Haftarah, so you can read three psukim at a time to the mitargim. Why? Rashi says im yirtse velo ichpatlan im yate delo nafkamina hora'a. Because the mitargim. In other words, what's the problem? Why can't you read more than one pasuk in the Torah at a time?
He's afraid he'll get mixed up.
Because it has to be precise. And what's the worst thing that happens if somebody gets the translation a little imprecise?
The chicken strafe instead of kosher.
Right. The halacha will be affected. But when you're reading Yeshayahu Anavi for Haftarah, so Rashi says nishkafelich. Right? Since there's no nafka min al halacha, people aren't paskening the din based upon what they heard in the Navi. So if we can tolerate slight imprecision. So if you bite off a larger chunk for the Mitargim to translate, lo nara. But if each pasuk is a parasha b'fnei atzma, meaning if there's in well, the Gemara will get to this, but let's assume we're talking about Navi now. Surely you looked ahead.
No, I didn't. Yeah, but right. It just follows that way in the Mishnah.
Right, that's what it says. That seems to be, the pshat of the Mishnah. So, but each pasuk in the Navi is a parasha b'fnei atzma, meaning there's a parasha p'tucha u'stuma acharkach. So then, you have to read pasuk. There's this idea of giving the mitargim a larger chunk to translate at once, is when it's all within one parasha. But if there's a parasha break, so then you shouldn't bundle them all together for the mitargim. Midalgin b'navi ve'en midalgin b'torah. In the haftarah, you can skip. Right? The haftarah doesn't need to be consecutive. But in the Torah, we don't skip. Is that true?
Go back again, right?
In Kriyat HaTorah?
In Kriyat HaTorah?
Not in individual Kriyat, but in like...
After one aliyah to another, like on Rosh Chodesh, yeah. But that's not Medalgin.
No, but within one Kriyat, do you skip ahead?
No.
Never. Except in the Tanit Tzibur.
That's between two Kriyot. Rishon, and then there's Sheni and Shlishi.
Va'ad kama hu medaleg? Ad kedei shelo yifsok amiturgaman. In other words, if while the Baal Kori reads, the Mitargim translates. So if it takes longer for the Mitargim to skip ahead by rolling the Navi, then it takes the Mitargim to be translating. Meaning if there's going to be downtime, if there's going to be dead air, so then you can't skip that far. So you could skip one column, two columns, right? But more than that, you can't, because there'll be downtime. Rashi says, "Shelo yidaleg mimakom shehu kore, ela kadesh yuchal legol et hasefer velekrot bimkom hadilug kodem shiigmor hamiturgaman haturgaman." Tirgum hamikra shiyadaleg zemishum she'en kvod sibur la'amod sham b'shtika, because we don't want that downtime while everybody's waiting for him to find his place. Yeah,
a form.
Yeah, I guess. So the Gemara says, "Hani shlosha psukin keneged me." We already saw this Gemara was quoted earlier on Daf Kaf Aleph. Omar Rabbi Asi keneged Torah Navi Muchtuvim. Okay. V'lo yikre lemiturgaman yoter mi pasuk echad uvenavi shlosha psukim. V'im hayu shloshtan shalosh parshiot kore echad echad. Kegon. And then it gives you an example from Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Bet, where you have three psukim, where each pasuk is a parsha, like in Birkat Kohanim. Right? You know, in Birkat Kohanim, each pasuk is a parasha b'fnei atzma. Right? So there's this pasuk, there's this example in Yirmiyahu, in Yishayahu, where you have such a thing. So if that's the haftarah, so then the mitargim would have had to read each of those pasukim, the kore would have to read it one at a time, and mitargim one at a time. Kiko amar Hashem, and he brings the three pasukim. Midalgin b'navi ve'ein midalgin b'torah. Reminu, but this is contradicted. Kore achre mot v'ach ba'asor v'hakam medaleg. What is that? Yom Kippur Mincha. Yom Kippur Mincha?
No.
Whereas this is not. This is when the Kohen Gadol reads. Right, the Kohen Gadol reads from Achrimot, but he apparently is Medaleg. V'hakim Medaleg. Omar Abaye lo kasha. Kan b'chdei sheyafsok ha-miturgaman, v'kan b'chdei shelo yafsok ha-miturgaman. Right? It's not a problem because he's not skipping so much that the Miturgaman won't be able to fill up the dead time. But what's the problem?
That we thought that that was related.
Yeah, we
to
thought
the
that
Navi.
Was talking only in the Navi, not in the Torah. Va ola katani medalgin benavi, vein medalgin betorah. Vad kama hu medaleg ad kedei shelo yifsoka miturgaman. Mechlal de betorah klal klal lo. In the Mishnah, wait a second. In the Mishnah, we said this whole thing about skipping only as much as the Mitargen can fill up the dead space. That's talking in the Navi. And implied in that is that you can't do it at all in Kriya Satora. And here, Kohen Gadol Ad Yom HaKippurim, he does it. Elo Omer Abaye Lo Kasha Kan B'Inyon Echad V'Kan B'Shtei Inyanot. Inyan is Zachar or Nekeva. Today we say Inyanim, nachon? David. So once upon a time it was Nekeva. It happens. Here's an interesting example. Don't you find this interesting? If anybody would find this interesting, I would have thought it would be you. V'atanya, midalgin b'torah b'inyan echad, uv'navi b'shnei inyanim, afilu b'shnei inyanim. No. You didn't read between the lines in the Mishnah. In daftarah, you can skip as long as the mitargem fills up the gap, but you can skip from one inyan to another inyan. Apparently, there was a period where the haftarah was not. No, in other words, even if the haftarah was set, the question is when Chazal set what could be a haftarah.
What will? You can say I want to read some of it, not all of it, something like that. You would need more flexibility.
Well, that we saw last week. This idea that how much haftarah you read was a little
that's
bit of more of a.
Okay.
But there are also certain cases in the haftarah where the haftarah itself has two different ketayim.
Right.
You read one part and then you skip to somewhere else.
So in haftarah, you can skip from one topic to another topic. You can skip as far as you want as long as there's no dead time.
Right.
Because even the mitargem. Now that we don't have the mitargem, we wouldn't allow this. Right. I mean, even though we read from these printed chumashim, so it's less of an issue. But where they had to actually roll the scroll.
So if they roll the scrolls, it's not a problem.
No, in other words, this halakha is based upon the idea that all haftarot were read from scrolls.
There are places that do that.
And there are still places that do that. Our haftarot, our pre-selected set in stone haftarot, this is not an issue neither for the scroll rollers nor for the book readers. Because they were designed that if you don't have to skip that too far in a scroll, then kal v'chomer you don't have to skip that too far in a printed book.
Yonah, you skipped the Micha, that's not like an issue. I don't know. Like
Kan v'chan b'chdei shlo yifsoka miturgaman. Tanya idach ein medalgin b'navi l'navi. U'b'navi shel shnei masar medaleg. But you can't skip, you can't read Haftarah from Yishayahu and then skip to Yirmiyahu. But Treyasar is one Navi. So what do? We read Yonah, and then you skip to a few psukim at the end from Micha. So that's all within, for the purposes of a Sefer, that's all one Navi. When they write...
I assume that it's the same reason, because they wrote it all on one scroll.
Because it's always written on one scroll. Right? In other words, we don't, although it's becoming more the fashion, because Baruch Hashem, we can afford these types of things. When we were kids in America, there was no shul that read from a cloth the Haftarah. I mean, did you know any shuls that read from a cloth the Haftarah? In YU they had they read the Haftarah from the cloth. Well, it's not in America. No, and it's very often if you had the maftir, you would say the brachot, and then the Baal Koreh, just like we do for the Kriyas Torah. The Baal Koreh would read the.
It's harder for like a bar mitzvah kid or whatever. Like it's a whole level.
Yeah, well, there aren't too many bar mitzvah kids in the YU based medrash.
No,
so yeah. Yeah. So.
My shul in Munster at some point they had a cloth.
For what? Like for Yishayahu.
What? For Haftarah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but which cloth? Which sefer did they have?
I don't Like I said, I was like 10 at the time. I wasn't very interested.
I mean, if you're going to buy one, you'll buy Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is the most representative of the Haftarot. So you buy Yeshayahu, you buy...
He just didn't use it. You didn't use it when you had
the right. Yes, he used the regular Tanakh.
It just makes it harder for the guy to find.
Right. Shelo sefer letchilato. But the dilug is only in one direction. It's a one-way street. You can skip ahead, you can't skip back.
Even in the
Tresor. Even in the Tresor?
No, that's the following, right?
Yeah. I would assume. Yeah.
So what do you have? You have Shuran, you have Yonas, right?
Is there ever an instance where you do skip back?
No. No, you never skip back. You never skip back. And that's why you bring out, when you have a different maftir, you bring out a different Sefer Torah. Right, like when you have Rosh Chodesh, when you have Yontif, when you bring out a...
It's not talking about Chesed.
Huh?
It's not talking about Chesed, because they have two separate scrolls. There's no backwards and forwards, and they're not talking from a book. They're talking from different scrolls for things. So, right? There were different scrolls for each book, I assume.
Not for Chesed. Chesed was always written in one Sefer.
Chesed was one Sefer.
Chesed is one Sefer, right? That's why they didn't... No one Navi, earned... Oh, what's the word? They couldn't write, they were too little to write them on their own.
Okay, Seder, we'll stop here with this Mishnah.